everyone, and welcome to Another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by the jazzy, the jovial, the jammy John.
How you doing, everybody?
Today's product aims to make quite a splash with the sharks. It's a quacktastic take on bath time. Will the sharks want to lather, rinse, and repeat with these founders, or will this be a soap opera to remember? We'll dive in after this ad. Much like the age-old question, to skinny jean or to not skinny jean, marketing strategies can come and go and come back again. Who can keep up? Luckily, there's HubSpot's 2024 State of Marketing Report. It's the all-in-one guide for what's happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy, boosting efficiency, and growth. Don't get caught behind the trends. Visit HubSpot.com/state-of-marketing to get your free copy of the report. Today in the tank, we have Splash Zen. At first, I was like, it's splashing, like it's German, but no, it's Splash Zen. Exactly. Which is actually, I believe, Splitzen in German, but correct me if I'm wrong, German listeners.
Und Splitzen. Anyway,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So today in the tank, we have Splash Zen, which is brought to us by founders Rodney and Tanya. They are asking for $100,000 for 10% in their business, which is a $1 million valuation. Now, the problem that Splash Zen is trying to solve is that bath time is really chaotic when you have kids. Water just gets everywhere and the kids just won't stop splashing. So their solution is a product that helps keep the water where it's supposed to be. It is a movable plastic wall that attaches to your bathtub with suction cups and essentially guards the water from getting out. It's clear, so just to be clear, you can watch your kids enjoy bath time, yeah. Or if you're washing your dog, it keeps the water in the tub and not on your floors.
It's like a really wide tube of saran wrap,
yep.
But it's like retractable.
High quality,
thick saran wrap that's retractable. And you like pull it out and you hook it to one side of your tub and you let it go. And so you got to like hook the whole tube vertically to the side of your tub and then you slide it across to block stuff from splashing out.
That's the marketer in John really selling the product.
Yep. Saran wrap for the tub.
Some of your opinions on Splash Zen seem to have come through in that product review, but thinking about our product and our pitch, what are your thoughts on Splash Zen?
Well, I give a lot of baths.
Okay.
I'm a big bath giver right now. I got two little kids. My wife, Kate, is also a bath giver. Mm-hmm. She's a big kid gadget buyer. And so this is one I wanted to talk to her about. I was like, what do you think?
Okay.
And I described it to her and she said, do you mean like a shower curtain?
Kinda.
And I was like, well, yeah, but no, but you can see through it. And she was like, do you mean a clear shower curtain? And I was like, yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a clear shower curtain. And she was like, okay, we're done here.
Wow. Fair.
So a couple things about it. Number one, the problem is real.
Okay.
There is nothing worse than when you are given a bath and typically you can sense that it's coming. You're like, oh my gosh, a gigantic wave is about to come crashing out of the tub, or my kid is about to go bonkers and like splash
hit
things
everywhere.
And there's almost nothing you can do to stop it in those moments for whatever reason.
The kids
like
tsunami.
Time slows down. You're like, and like the yeah,
rubber everywhere. Ducks everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Silicon turtles, turtle and duck flying through the air. It's rough, Jory. And so the problem is real. I'm not sure that I would think the problem is so persistent or bad that I would consider like somehow attaching a tube of plastic to the wall of my bathtub and closing it. I'd probably just rely on my shower curtain, which is what I do today. So I don't think the market's really going to be there for it.
Hmm.
There's also other concerns. So this thing gets wet and then you just like roll it back up in its tube and it just like molds. And how do you attach the metal? Do you screw it into your tiles?
I think it's like suction cupped, but like, are the suction cups that good that if you
the suction cups are never going to hold. No. It turns out suction cups don't hold shit.
Especially when they get wet.
Now that I got kids, the suction cups, I try them on everything. They don't hold anything. So yeah. And the other thing
Keep going.
Just looking at my list of beefs with the splash then.
Yeah, I love it.
The other thing is like, if you do use it, you got to lean over. Like the amount of back pain you'd experience trying to get down to wash your kids in there. It's tall. You got to bend over it. You'd fall in. It would be rough. Yes. So real problem. Not sure it's the solution I'd turn to. Even if it is a good solution, I'm not sure the market for it's really going to be there. Tough to invest in. So
for those reasons, you're out.
For those reasons, I'm out.
This is definitely one of those products where I could totally understand that as parents, the founders saw it as an issue. I'm not so sold that they did like enough market research that this exact product was like what parents really wanted to solve that issue. I get that they're also trying to sell this to dog owners. I could kind of actually see this more as like a dog specific product because
I could too.
I feel like as a kid product, I'm not so sure that I'm sold that this is incredibly safe to use to sort of like keep a barrier between your child that's in the bath and then you, the parent, controlling the situation. So I would be kind of curious on like how they validated this as a product versus jumping directly into product design, because it just seemed like there were some functional issues to consider. And for those reasons, I'm out.
All right. We're out.
We're out as investors. The Sharks started to get into some other interesting issues in terms of just the level of education they would need to sell this on a shelf.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's a big product.
It's huge.
You know, it would take a lot of shelf space.
Mm-hmm. And it's not very obvious when it is in its tube plastic form, like functionally what it's even supposed to be doing. I do think that Barbara makes a lot of good points in terms of like, okay, so it's a big package. You use all of that real estate to educate your customer on this use case. Where would you even put this in terms of the retail aisle?
Yeah, it's really complicated. In fact, I'm not sure I would even put it in retail. I don't think this is a product that anybody goes to a store looking for, number one. Mm. Number two, in order for it to be a bonus purchase where someone's like sees it at the store and is like, ooh, I kind of need
this
that.
Too.
Like, mm-hmm. It needs to be smaller because it's not going to sell enough that it can really justify shelf space. That's why you see like things like the lime squeezer, or the lemon squeezer. Like that's like an add-on purchase. You're in like the supermarket aisle and you like see like the lime squeezer. You're like, oh, I should get a lime squeezer. Like I'm always squeezing limes, you know? And they don't take up any shelf space because they're hanging from something. It's only like three or four of them, you know? So I think the size is mismatched. So it's got to be direct to consumer, which means your whole go-to-market's got to be oriented around making people aware of this problem and the product is a solve for it and relying on people coming to you to buy it, which honestly, I think feels somewhat attainable. I think if they were going to reach this market, I think the people who have this problem would immediately feel the pain. And then it's just a matter of convincing them this is a good solve for it, which, you know, you could accomplish with video, demonstrations, testimonials, like yada, yada.
I was going to ask, what channels do you think a product like this would be most successful on? Like if they had to just choose a select few marketing channels to lean into, where do you see this falling successfully?
Well, I think that I would just look to the places that parents go
for answers,
to seek out information on parenting. Mm-hmm. And so number one, when it comes to products, there are lots of review sites and people, personal blogs that have become review sites. I think that would be a key channel for this. So those people are also, of course, on Instagram and TikTok. And so they're social creatures and they're audience builders. I'd probably start there. That's honestly the channel I would invest the most in.
TikTok.
But all through an influencer strategy of just getting the people who already do this for a living to try and talk about their product. And I think that would just get them a ton of customers.
As Ariel likes to say, the mommy bloggers.
The mommy bloggers.
That's one of my favorite phrases that she uses a lot, yeah, is mommy bloggers. But I am curious, do you think that the price point makes sense? They talk about that it's costing them $40 to make. They're selling it for $99.
$100 is way too much for a roll of Saran wrap, definitely. I mean, $40 for the product. This is a roll of plastic with some suction cups. I honestly feel like they should be able to get it for like $5 to $7. Mm-hmm.
They do mention it is kind of like high quality plastic.
You know, sure.
You didn't see his face, but John was not convinced by that argument.
Not convinced. The thing is like, I think parents have a lens for high quality, but I think that lens actually is much more about plastic versus non-plastic.
Fair.
And I think most parents actually are trying to avoid plastic for their kids now that we've learned that plastic is largely just like poisoning in us and awful, getting into every organ in our bodies and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, like parents look and say, I don't want plastic, I want silicone. But this is just like high quality plastic. So I'm not sure that being high quality plastic will actually do anything for them.
Sure.
It won't get them any benefit. It won't increase willingness to pay. Mm-hmm. And so I probably would just like consider making it lower quality.
Yeah. And lower cost too. If you had to rebrand this, because I think that part of their issue is that they've got a really big barrier of education. And I think their branding doesn't do enough of the heavy lifting there. I think that's something that the Sharks actually mention as well. But if you were brought on as the main marketer for Splash Zen, what would be your top three recommendations for where they should pivot into if they are trying to scale this as a product.
I'd hit the mommy bloggers, definitely. I would definitely go there. Honestly, I would be sure that their e-commerce site was actually very high conversion. Not sure this is going to be a type of product that is going to get a mass market click to their website. And so everybody you get, I would obsess about converting, often overlooked, but I'd be sure that we did that. And then, yeah, I mean, I think you just need to like go super hard. There's all these things that parents are going to think. I'm sure there's a list of things similar to what I brought up of objections to the product. And I would probably spend a bunch of time just shooting objections down and orient my website marketing and social content all around that, just knocking those things down.
This is why you need our plastic wall. That's not a shower curtain.
Yeah.
Some sharks were out because they were like, yeah, we just can't see how this is going to retail. But despite our reservations, we did have a bit of a feeding frenzy between Lori and Barbara. I didn't realize that their relationship was so fraught because we saw them kind of starting to go at each other about being cheap over the other. So Lori initially offers $100,000 for 20%. She's like, I'm the distributing queen. I've got you. Barbara is willing to undercut Lori at any cost. So ultimately takes this Shark Tank deal for $100,000, gets negotiated down to 14%, and seals the deal, undercutting Lori. Barbara wins the Shark Tank deal with Splash Zen.
Yeah.
Yay, hooray, Barbara.
I bet Barbara's going to offer a ton of value. Yeah. I bet she's going to drive the cost way, 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 way down. I bet she's going to get them a bunch of distribution that's going to be awesome. And so I think they'll find out pretty quick if the market is there for this.
So Splash Zen, despite our reservations, coming to a retail space near you, question mark? Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeSarmo. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave: AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.